Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 and Hummel's Wharf. And the Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today in Chicago. Penn State plays here tomorrow against Northwestern. All right, and today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
78-59, McConnell with it. Baseline pull-up is off the rim, no good. Joel an off-balance, rebounded in. Embiid has been unstoppable here at times in this game. 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists. He and McConnell have been a wicked and successful combination for the Sixers.
Tom McGinnis with the call on the Sixers radio network. They beat the Celtics yesterday. In fact, beat them with relative ease. And Joel Embiid had another great game. By the way, just so you know, I'm in favor of the proposed redshirt rule, by the way, just so you know. That doesn't bother me. Everyone talks about, in a bowl game, about the importance of bowl practice for younger players and so forth. Well, if they're ready, let them play. I mean, this doesn't bother me at all. I mean, as long as it's I think you bring up the best point, monitor it. Well, monitoring is, like, you got to be right and spot on as to how you do it. Again, participation charts are really not the way to do it because you've got to have somebody in the box that actually knows who the person is. You have no idea how many times over the years that I've heard on a public address system the wrong person making the tackle. Okay. So, I mean, that's the big, but I'm in favor of it. I think that's perfectly fine. I mean, you know, what's to say you couldn't have put Journey Brown back to return a kickoff in the Fiesta Bowl? Now, would that get fans excited to see some of the freshmen that they're always aching to see out there? Yeah, I think it'll put a little more juice into some of those games. But I would be for it. And I have no problem with the staggering of it, but again, you have to monitor it in such a way where, okay, everybody's spot on as to exactly how many games Johnny Football Guy has played. Now, what I'm not quite on board with is the transfer rule. I'm not quite there on this one yet. This is being discussed in June, where you're able to, if you have a 2.7 or, now, John Rothstein wrote that you'd need a 2.7 or a 2.8 grade point average to transfer and not have to sit out. There are times, look, in the past, which way was the pendulum? The pendulum was heavily weighted to the university and heavily weighted to the football coach. Or the basketball coach. I mean, we all know that. What you need is to have the pendulum sitting right there in the center. Now I'm watching the pendulum, because of overreaction, swing too far the other way. And a lot of this doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. There are certain times where allowing somebody to transfer is fine. You decide to change coaches. Coach goes someplace else. But again, what if a coach? Let's take a basketball team. Basketball team's an easier number to work with. All right. You got 5 great starters. They're all underclassmen. All right. You're at a mid-major school. said coach. And by the way, not only a mid-major school, but they're all with a grade point average of 2.9. You have all these, like, these five clones. They're all 2.9. They're all, okay. It said coach takes a job at Power 5 schools. Suddenly the job at Tennessee opens up. Great. He goes there. He brings his five starters with him. Huh? That's not inconceivable, is it? That's not inconceivable. Right now, what a student-athlete gets is that they get cost of attendance, so they do get a little bit of money. Not a tremendous amount, but they get a little bit of money. They get all their meals, nutrition stations. Now, this has cost schools money to do this. And all the student-athletes get meals. It's not just football and basketball. All right. They don't have to pay for a book, and they don't have to pay tuition. Now, I have five children. I have five college graduates in my family now. Five college graduates among my children. But we had to pay, you know, they had to take out some loans. We picked up the difference. I mean, I know how much I paid out of my own pocket over the years. And just so everyone understands, in full disclosure, because my circumstance is a little different, so I never did qualify for the Penn State discount. So whatever you paid to send your child to Penn State at the state rate is what I paid. All right? So just so you know that, full disclosure. So I know what it's like to have to save and sacrifice and so forth to put a child, help a child get through college, and that they have to take out loans, and the fact that they're paying back their loans now. And my children have been great because they thank me for the part I pay, because it reduced their loans compared to, you know, in their wives or their husband or whatever, who didn't get as much help as Kathy and I gave them. All right. Which is awfully nice of them to say to us. I mean, that's all right. But so if you're a student athlete, you got at least some money, not a lot, but some money to compensate for, you really can't hold a job during the year. You know, you got enough to worry about between weight room, running, taking classes, taking tests, writing papers, practicing, playing games. I mean, you know, your time management has to be really, really good. All right, really, really good. So cost of attendance at least offsets that. Or if you need a couple dollars to repair a car, or if you need a couple of dollars if you want to go out on a Friday night, you got that. Now remember, too, I would venture to say 75% of student-athletes, let's say it's two-thirds to 75% of student-athletes qualify for Pell Grants. This is the part that's never talked about. You can be a student-athlete, and all it says on there is how much is tuition. And if you financially qualify for a Pell Grant, you'll get grant money, money you never have to pay back. So you get that money, too, on top of cost of attendance if you qualify. And a lot of student-athletes do qualify, by the way, for Pell Grants. That's never talked about. It's why when you listen to, you know, you watch certain TV shows and they start debating this, I'm like, you got to have some chops to talk about this thing. You got, okay, it goes a little bit deeper than people realize. I mean, obviously, they're not making $200,000 a year. I know that. They're not making $500,000 a year. But this goes for every student-athlete, all of them. And remember, when they talk about the money that's brought in by football and men's basketball, because those are the, you know, those are the really only the two legit money makers there are, right? Everybody else loses money. Now we've mentioned men's hockey at Penn State they're in the black by about maybe $250,000. Okay, hey, great, they pay for themselves and then a little bit extra, but because of the TV and radio contracts and attendance and tickets and so forth, football and men's basketball make the money that's then distributed to everybody else so you can have other sports. So the conversation always centers around the 98 student-athletes, 85 football players, 13 men's basketball players, and what they bring to a university. They never talk. Now, Penn State has 800 student-athletes. They never talk about the other 702. And it's all in a wide variety of numbers of, you know, some people have fulls, halves, quarters, three-quarters. You know, a wrestling team has 9.9 scholarships. So, obviously, you're not running out 10 wrestlers out there on full scholarships. You can't do it. So, you've got to be able to divvy it up. But where does the money come from? It comes from this. And you know what? I don't like where certain elements, and maybe this is the old-fashioned part of me, of where some of this is going. I don't like that. You got to stop listening to the mob out there and do what you think is right for everybody in the greater scheme of the whole thing. It's still college. Now, I realize what coaches make. We're seeing what coordinators now make, right? Now, that does enter into the discussion. But they're also older professionals, well-established and so forth. It's different than being somebody in college. But I want to see the NFL rule on going to the pros is spot on. It's exactly where I think it should be. That's fine. The NBA rule, they've got to get rid of the one and done. Right? If you want to go from high school into the pros, go ahead. And if you end up in the G League, so be it. It's not the responsibility of the world to save you from your decisions. Right? I don't want to go to college. I don't want to play college basketball. I don't want to play pro basketball. Oh, you got cut. You're in the G League. Well, I want to be able to go to college now. How about no? Right? You and your family made the decision. You're not going to get a lot of money playing in the G League, but, you know, go there or go to Europe. Okay? You already said you don't want to go to college. So, the NBA, the owners want a more mature league. Why? It's better. A more mature league is better. I mean, look at where we are with champions. Let's just keep it in basketball for a moment. Okay, name the last NBA champion that had a one-and-done on it as their star. It would be the Lakers, probably, with Kobe Bryant. But Kobe Bryant was, early on, was not the star. He's really the last one. I mean, LeBron James, obviously, but I mean, is a one and done. But okay, he went from high school straight in, as did Kobe Bryant. But they also won their championships later in their careers. LeBron James didn't start winning championships until he was in his mid-20s. So you go LeBron, you got Wade, you got Bosh, right? They finally were older, mature players when they finally won in Miami. Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavericks, older players. San Antonio, older players. Golden State, older players. Cleveland Cavaliers now, older players. Love, right? LeBron and so forth. They wanted more because the champions are all mature. Look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Andrew Wiggins, first overall choice, one and done from Kansas. Terrific player. Well, the Cavaliers drafted him first overall. Then they dealt him to Minnesota for Kevin Love. Okay. The next year, they draft Karl Anthony Towns, Minnesota does. First overall in the draft, one and done. So a team like Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, two one and dones, great talents. Timberwolves haven't been in the playoffs one time. Anthony Davis is as fine a college player as I've ever seen in person in my life. And I watched him play down at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. He was marvelous. Point guard skills and a big man's body. Wow. And he's gone to New Orleans, and guess what? He's been everything you could ask for in New Orleans. Everything. And the best they've done, I think, is an 8 seed, 7 or 8 seed. It's the best they've done. Because even the league understands you need more mature players. LeBron didn't start winning until he got older. Kobe didn't start winning until he got older. Kobe's first 2 years were kind of a waste of time in the NBA, to be honest with you. LeBron came out of the gate pretty well right away, but he didn't start winning in the team concept until he got older players around him, and he got older. So they want a more mature league. I want college basketball to be more mature. Look at the last two champions, North Carolina, Villanova, both older teams. Mike Bray of Notre Dame always wants to have older players on his team. Same thing with college. At least college football, they're there for 3 years and so forth. This transfer thing bothers me because I don't want to see this thing becoming like the Wild West. I'm not quite sure. I think the pendulum, when it comes to the transfer rule, I think it's swinging too far, where you're trying to appease so much that you're kind of you're losing track of what you are. I mean, how many times have I done games now where the guy's on his third school? I'm like, well, great. That's exactly the guy I want to hire. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, what are those Brewers Outlet specials? Yes, indeed. Let's get that to you for between now and Tuesday. Coors Light 36 packs, just $19.95. And new Belgium Day Blazer 15 pack cans, just $14.95. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. The transfer rule is one I don't know. I think we're getting too far away from what I think college should be. You know, I mean, I'm all for a modern. I was all for example. The stipend rule. I was all for, especially all for the nutrition rule. I thought that was a great move. I'm all for moving up the start of the basketball season. The red shirt rule, I'm all for. This I'm not. I'm not on board with this one. Because I just don't like the Wild West feel to it. Man, I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm leaving. Now I realize there's a grade point average component that might be connected to it. All right, I understand that. But just because there is doesn't mean I'm in favor of it. You can transfer. All right, fine, transfer. You can do that. But, you know, you got to sit out of here. Okay. And it's that there's too many. To me, there are too many unintended consequences with it. And somebody said to me the other day, well, the average student can transfer anywhere they want. Yes, the average student is paying for their education, so they can choose where they wish to pay their tuition. Okay, they're not having it taken care of for them, where you're paying zero. All right, that's why there are rules attached to this. You know, in other words, it's like going. I saw it at Nordstrom, but it's cheaper at Macy's. Okay, I'm going to go. You choose which store to go to because you're paying the money. Okay, well, the student-athlete is not paying the money. All right? They're not. The university is. The athletic department is. They're the ones paying the money. So that's why you have to have certain rules attached to it, in my opinion. And again, the transfer thing I'm not crazy about. If you want to amend the transfer rule, if you want to amend it where if a coach is removed or quits or takes another job and you want to open that up, okay, I'd be really wide open to talking about that. Because, yes, they may have signed on with the university, but, boy, they sure did sign on with the coach too. So that one I'd be willing to talk about. That part to me is fair and deserves a look. That deserves a long look. But not like, you know what, I'm leaving. Well, you want to leave, go someplace else, sit out a year, and then you get a chance to play. I think the pendulum's swinging too far in a couple of these things. That, I don't know how you feel about it, Sean, but I just, you know, this, while it's not the model I grew up with, there's some elements of the model I grew up with that, by the way, are still really good elements, I think. All right, Pick's final half hour. Maybe you in the audience have a different opinion. But again, if a coach leaves, whatever reason, I'm all for transferring without penalty. But other than that, I'm not too crazy about the rule.
Sometimes the truth hurts. The first 2 weeks of January with sub-zero temperatures put a hurting on Sunbury Motors sales.
Well, bundle up and save
while SMC delivers the biggest discounts imaginable. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to see you in a brand new Escape or F-150. Save up to $8,000 on new Escapes
starting at $20,825.
Or take up to $14,500 off a new Ford F-150
starting at $25,969.
Sunbury Motors Kia doesn't want you to pay a dime in interest for your new Kia. Finance a new Sereno, Sportage, Optima, or Forte for 0% for 75 months.
No one has 0% for 75 months but Kia.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai wants you with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000 miles.
Plus, you can save up to $3,807 on a new Santa Fe and $3,112 on a new Hyundai Tucson.
Bundle up and save
at Sunbury Motors Ford, Kia, or Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In Chicago today. Great to have you with us. Flew out this morning about 11:45. Got here actually early.
Got here.
Probably walked into the hotel room about 12:50 Central Time and waited to call Sean just for dramatic effect.
It worked.
I dialed in at 3:03. Come on.
Right on cue. Right on time.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And Imports Domestics microbrews and great specials as well. Coors Light 36 packs. $19.95. New Belgium Day Blazer, 15 packs, $14.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed, without a doubt, to quote Jack Ham, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And again, the Sunbury Motors Studio mobile today in Chicago, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Maybe not technically in Chicago. We're in Rosemont. We're in the burbs. All right. So now let's bring in the champion.
All hail the champ.
I'd like to thank my wife. For all, nothing is possible without. I point to the sky every time.
You got her script, that's good.
Yeah. I'm dead serious. So I can taste those pickles now. Do you got another kid getting married? I can pick them up.
No, but you know what? I think there'll be a point where I'm going to take a couple days and maybe in May or some point, and I can run them up there.
Cool. You'll bring the pickles here?
Oh, yeah.
You know the deal. You got a second place, so you guys are still fighting for second place. Second place gets 3 pickles. First place gets 6. So you guys are still playing for something.
Absolutely.
Yes. I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah. I woke up today. That's what kept driving me.
whilst getting on
best
the plane, I still
in the
got
world,
a shot.
Man. You don't
times.
Know what you're missing.
Well, we've only got two games to pick this weekend, but they're two really good games.
Yes.
We'll have them both here on WKOK on Sunday.
Cool.
Very nice.
What do you think of Brady?
Well, you know what? It's obviously a little more serious than just blowing off, he's on the injury report. Well, you know, now they've held him out of practice. That's common. And believe me, I've been around where guys haven't practiced much during the course of the week, and then suddenly on Saturday, voila, there they are. We're all good.
This is just my thought on it. Belichick will do anything within his power to win a football game. You've now forced Jacksonville to prepare for two quarterbacks instead of just preparing for Brady. And their whole deal is their defense. And I got a feeling, you know, he hurt his hand. There's no question that he hurt his hand. But this guy's been won 5 Super Bowls, won 9 conference championships. He's not missing this game. There's no way.
Oh. Well, if they were two,
whether
if they
he's
were
effective
two,
or not, who knows?
Right.
But
if they were two different style of quarterbacks, I could buy into it. Except they are not two different styles of quarterbacks. They are the same style of quarterback. I mean, Brady's just exponentially better than Brian Hoyer,
but they knows run the system very well.
Right. Right, but they run the same. But they run the same system. It's not as if, say, for example, remember Jacoby Brissett was with them. And they won a regular season game against Houston. Well, he's a different style of quarterback than Brady, and it does make you sit there and say, "Hold, wait a minute, everybody, hold the phone here." So if he'd gone from Brady to Jimmy Garoppolo, it's the same. You go from Brady to Brian Hoyer, it's the same in terms of the system. Obviously, the way Brady runs it is exponentially better than anybody. So if you're Jacksonville, you are preparing like it is Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. And if it shows up, it's Brian Hoyer, you're like, okay, keep going. It's only Brian Hoyer.
Right. I'll go right now and tell you, I think New England wins the game regardless who their quarterback is. So I just think they're a better team, so regardless of the quarterback. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow, he's already
silence,
out there swinging out
that's
picks.
Cool. Silence is good.
That didn't take long.
Well, that'd be something
and
else.
You guys can fight it out. This'd be fun to watch. Who's gonna buy the pickles?
I think we can work out a deal with Corey.
I'm not losing sleep over it. We're good.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow and say, what about Penn State Northwestern? I'm really not going to be thinking too much about it. Got to go to Rosemont.
That's all I've got to think about.
Nobody can tell.
Got to get a life, man. I was so excited I won, I couldn't get a hold of myself.
He texted it to me this week, and I thought, oh, well, I got another game here. I'm like, oh, okay, great, Kev won. That's great. It's actually really good for the show that you win.
Why?
I think a lot of fans like
so
that.
You're letting me win.
No, I'm not letting you win.
Oh, no, we're not.
I think it's good for the show that you win because I think that you get a lot of people that love you out there.
I think I know what I'm talking about. I don't think so. I think I'm lucky.
No, they don't want me to win. Fine.
Oh, come on. I knew somebody once who we played for. It was called the Freakin' Quarter Award, the Effin' Quarter Award, and we had a plaque and everything. And this girl would pick a falcon would beat a something in a fight. A bear would beat. She won the whole thing. That's how she picked every game. She would say, what are their names? The giant would beat a jet. You know, and that's how she picked every game every week, and she won the thing over 17 weeks. That she knew nothing about football at all. Nothing.
Well, I've seen people win the NCAA tournament pool because they literally, and I'm not joking, pick the tournament by the color of the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. Why not? Who knows?
I mean,
it's a ball that bounces, you know.
I'll give you a really good one. Ron Vanderlinden, who's now the linebackers coach at Air Force. Ron had been the head coach at Maryland. He'd been the defensive coordinator at Northwestern, the head coach at Maryland. And then he was Penn State's linebackers coach for a decade. So I'm doing the show, and Ron's wife is listening to the show because she wanted to fill out her tournament bracket. So I started going through, and I didn't know. I mean, I knew she listened to the show. But I went through, you know, take a look at the three-point line, take a look at the foul line. Usually teams that win the lines are the ones that win games. So I said, so start looking at to see, you know, who are the really good three-point shooting teams. Look at teams that have more free throws made than free throws attempted by the opponent. All right? Okay. Very logical, statistical way of doing it. So she told me she went through and did research, and she filled out her bracket based on that. All right? She felt pretty good about it. And they got destroyed.
Me and Josh got destroyed. Remember that year I called you? I said, he's the guru of sports.
Oh,
and we were
out
the first weekend. He says, I thought he was the guru. I said, well, what are you going to do?
Knows.
It's a ball that bounces. Oh, look at the Vikings. That should have been an interception. Instead, the guy misses the ball. It hits his knee. It bounces 20 yards the other way, and Minnesota gets a first down. That guy catches the ball. The game's over, and New Orleans is playing this weekend. That's how a ball bounces. You can't. Nobody in Vegas is going to pick that or said, oh, I knew that was going to happen.
No, that play wasn't a designated touchdown play anyway. They were just hoping to get the ball out of bounds and set up another play to try to get a field goal.
The touchdown play was crazy. I you know what I was surprised at? That the guy didn't run out of bounds. He kept running.
Yeah, I was too. I think he turned around and went.
That was the call in the huddle, was you catch the ball, get out of bounds.
Right.
And he looked up and said, holy crap, there's nobody in front of me. And he took
there.
Off.
Run!
You know?
Run,
he
Forrest,
was, he
run!
He was stunned. They were all stunned. He saw the quarterback. He said, oh, my God. Touchdown.
That was one of the worst plays a safety could ever make in a game.
All you had to do with that was just a poor defensive setup. You should have had somebody back. There's no way they're going to score a touchdown. No way. And he was there was nobody in front of him.
But the odd thing is about that play is that as a defense, they thought the right thing. In other words, they ran four sideline outs, okay? One on the opposite side, which was covered, and three on a triple level on the near side. Well, New Orleans covered it right initially because you're not thinking they're trying to throw. There's 10 seconds left and not five. So you're thinking, look, I got to stop the sideline out here because I don't want them to kick a field goal. So that part was right, except the safety not only committed the wrong way, but he missed them. Like, it's very rare when I see a guy completely whiff on a tackle. Normally, you at least kind of like get a piece of him. And he completely missed.
But they had nothing behind them. I mean, you could make a defensive call and with 10 seconds left, say, let him catch the ball. Let him run.
Right.
When we tackle him, there's not going to be any time left on the clock to kick a field goal.
Right.
They
run,
just
Forrest,
plain
run.
Blew that play. I mean, you got to look to coaching. You got to look to everything that. He should have had two guys back that let him run. They're going to burn tens of, make the quarterback scramble a little bit. Now the clock is ticking. He's got to throw the ball. The clock is ticking. The guy's got to catch it and run and tackle him. The game's over.
Yeah.
Isn't that how the Patriots won a Super Bowl? The Rams tackled the guy right on the goal line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jones. Mike Jones.
No, the game was over.
Well, the Rams
were half a yard short of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was Rams and Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Dyson.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
But, that's all they had to do. They didn't even have to push him out of bounds. All they had to do was let him run and tackle him and let the clock burn out. And They didn't do that. There was nobody in front of him. The kid was shocked. He looked up and said, "Oh my God, I can score a touchdown!" You know,
run, Forrest, run.
I tell you, and equated with that, it's not on the same level. Why did Pittsburgh kick that onside kick? I was just stunned. I was like, "Are you? You've got arguably one of the best quarterbacks in football. You've got to trust your defense to get a three, and there was 2.5 minutes left.
Well, Mikey didn't
get
trust him at that point.
Out, you get two timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. Ben would have got the ball back with 1.5 minutes left. And that's plenty of time when you got a receiving core like that.
And this has been over 10 years since they've even retrieved an onside kick.
Yeah, what are they, like, have a 10% success rate?
It's low.
Yeah,
it's low.
Ever since they changed.
The rules changed. The whole league has a 10%.
Right.
The chances of recovering that are slim to none.
Yeah. Ever since they changed the rules. Ever since they changed the rules, that's the difference.
Yeah,
because now you're not allowed to stack 9 guys on one side anymore. It's got to be 5 and 5.
Yeah, the Wham rule, right?
Yeah.
I was just stunned. I was like, for a coach who's been around a long time, the last thing I would have done was an onside kick.
That's what happens.
I got to trust my team that this is what we practice for, and you guys got to stop them. And you took the ball away from your defense. You didn't have any faith in them because that's just a risky play. You're a hero if it works, but it didn't work.
Mm-mm.
Ball didn't even go 10 yards. So.
It didn't even go 5.
And I had to get that off my chest. Boy, I jumped up. I said, "What are you doing?"
I barely blinked, and then the ball hit.
You got Ben Roethlisberger. You got Brown. You could get down that field so fast.
Oh, I barely blinked, and then the ball hit Tyler Matakevich.
The ball never would have gone 10 yards. It would have gone out of bounds if nobody touched it.
Boswell's history and track record of kicking onside kicks are just they're not all that productive. He did like this kind of twirl move a few years ago, and it broke the internet.
I wanted Steelers Patriots. I wanted that game bad.
280 Park Avenue wanted it too.
Well, the NFL's not happy right now.
Isn't it funny how
it turns? They got to have Tom Brady in this Super Bowl because they can't have unknown quarterbacks going to that Super Bowl. They've had their worst year ever as far as ratings and all that stuff. I mean, they want Philadelphia and they want New England, two big media markets. They know they'll get Minnesota because the game's in Minnesota. But if you have Philadelphia and Jacksonville, I mean, Minnesota and Jacksonville, that's a disaster for the NFL. Just like, oh, boy.
You know, it's really interesting. I read an article today looking at what Khan is the owner of the Jacksonville team, right?
Yeah.
And how they've now delivered a champion to Jacksonville, the great formula, and blah, blah, blah. This is the franchise that's forced to play in London every year, right?
Yeah.
I was just down there 2 years ago to do the Tax Slayer Bowl. Right.
Yeah.
They are not enamored with anything about the franchise down there. Okay. So don't tell me about their great success story. They won games this year. They got to the AFC Championship game, but they're still playing games in London, aren't they? Giving up a home game every year. All right. I'm picking New England as well. I don't care who the quarterback is.
I am also taking New England. I think the game could be tight early. We'll have to see how Brady's injury is. Maybe Jacksonville will get some pressure in there to Brady early and get him a little flustered. Kind of get
the only way they're going to score.
Kind of make the game a little tight for a while. But I just have a feeling, guys, there's going to be one or two controversial calls we've seen in a few Patriots games here over the last month or so that's going to swing it in the Patriots' direction. I see it coming from a mile away, don't you?
Remember the immaculate reception?
Yeah.
You guys got Super Bowls. So you're just worried they might tie your 6th Super Bowl record.
You know what? It's interesting you bring that up. I read a book today on the plane from a guy whose father has Alzheimer's. But he was going back. He used to be the publicity director, his dad, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And there was a big thing about, you know, the bat that's in the Hall of Fame is actually Roberto Clemente's bat from his 3,000th hit. And supposedly the guy gave his dad the bat, and his dad then gave it to the Hall of Fame. Well, there was a guy who was a photographer, good friends with Clemente, and he claimed he had the bat that Clemente gave him the bat. Well, it's interesting, the story goes back that Clemente had invited the photographer to come down to Puerto Rico and make the trip with him to Nicaragua to, you know, just to be a part of it, because he was just friends with the guy. He said, hey, you can take some pictures, the whole thing, we'll have some fun, it'll be nice, and you know, our families will go, right? And because of the immaculate reception, the photographer had to stay in Pittsburgh to shoot the AFC Championship game and didn't make the flight. Now, I was just reading about that on the plane today. Les Bancos is his name.
But John, you're right. The Patriots do seem to fall into things. So
I mean, here are the words Patriot fans love to hear. Brady back to pass. And the play is under further review. Okay, so okay.
Don't
Minnesota,
the league suspended them for 4 games. So
believe me. Oh, I've gone through that because I'll maintain I have no dog in the hunt at all. Zero.
Yeah.
As you know, Kev, I'm not a Patriots fan. I could care less
right,
either way.
Neither am I.
What they did, what they did with Brady was wrong. It just takes common sense. I don't want some phony baloney. The Wells report. Oh, really? I read that. I mean, which intern wrote that? Okay. So now let's get to the Vikings and Eagles, the one everybody around here cares about.
Yes.
Go ahead, Sean.
I just think that Minnesota exuded too much energy into last week's game, and I feel that Doug Peterson and Nick Foles, they're going to come up with a plan to pull this out. I've got Philly.
Way to play to the crowd. Nice job. All right. So, Kev?
Me?
Yeah,
I agree with Sean 100%.
No wonder the audience loves you.
Yeah, but you've been riding with Philly for how long, Kev? You have been.
Yeah,
Philly because Philly can run the ball and they got a great defense. And don't underestimate. I'm horrible with names.
LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount.
Yep.
His experience with the Patriots. He's a veteran who's a solid member of that team, solid
closer.
Member of that running attack, and he will have those guys ready to go. And Peterson's a great coach, and I think Sean's right that Minnesota won their Super Bowl last weekend, and now they got to get up for another game, and it may be hard because they know they got that on a wing and a prayer. And I just like Philly. Philly's a good team. Be a good Super Bowl, Patriots, Philly. Real good Super Bowl.
If Carson Wentz played, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're a good football team. They lost with Nick Foles?
Yes, they have.
They went maybe one game. I mean, they're 15-3.
Yeah, they lost to Dallas, obviously. But Nate Sudfeld quarterback most of that game.
Yeah.
Okay, first team to 10. I mean, what's the over and under on this game? 25?
That's funny.
This is the backup quarterback bowl. What the heck?
Well, that's what I told the guy here. I said, that game is going to be 10-8. You know, something crazy
first,
like that.
First team to 10. to me, you know what the single most important factor to me in this game is? Who gets the lead and plays with the lead?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick Minnesota to win.
Wow.
And I think they're two really great defenses, but I think Minnesota's defense is just a little bit better than Philadelphia's, especially at the corner spots.
Mm-hmm.
At the corners.
You have three pickles on the line.
Over under as we speak, 38.5.
That'll mean the Super Bowl will decide it if Minnesota wins.
38.5.
38.5.
You'll be tied.
38.5. okay, that's way too high.
Yeah.
In other words, they somehow think one of these teams is getting to 20.
What? Can you imagine it'll be 45 to 40 or something crazy?
I know. See, that's what you love about it. Every game is different. That's one of the great things I love about sports.
It's the ball. That's why they play the game.
It's suddenly Jacksonville, the Patriots, 10-7. Minnesota and Philadelphia, 45-42. Huh?
Exactly.
Defense is back, yes.
Hey, we're on at 1:30 tomorrow.
Overtime.
We're at 1:30 tomorrow here in Chicago.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.